Well, we had a pre-con this week. It was well attended, but as you know, not so many people arrive at the pre-con. We only had two sessions. One very early in the morning on Wednesday. We were amazed and surprised that so many people showed up. It was a full room, even though it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. And we know how many of you guys would like to enjoy Madrid even later on in the evening when you have dinner at 10 or something. So this is, that was really appreciated. But having you here on the last day when you're supposed to fly out, many of you guys, we really appreciate it. You make it worthwhile. So thank you very much for coming here. Really, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, this is the last session of the week. This is the hacker tools you should know and worry about. And this is going to be a completely interactive session. It's going to be laid back and relaxed. We don't care much. We can do whatever we want to. If they throw us out, we're just going to walk home and have fun anyway. It's summer break now, so we don't have to worry much. But one thing you should know, we have a link. So can you maybe bring up the link, Hassan? If not,
it is on the card.
Yeah, we have a card here. There is a link on that card. We have posted links to all the tools and stuff we're going to demonstrate. So you can find them. You don't have to take many notes. We also know that this session is recorded. So, I mean, you can do it either way. You can take your own notes. You can take photos of the screen. But you can also be kind of comfy and go to Channel 9, see the session later if you want to recap something. Or just take this one. It will take you to a Facebook page that will take you to a SkyDrive if you follow the links. There you will find all the stuff. Because we want you guys to browse our sites and download our stuff. That's what we want. So, the goal with this session is to show you a lot of tools. Some of them are really, really cool. Some of them are more basic. But it's a typical kind of tools that hackers use, penetration testers use, in order to break into system or systems. So this is an awareness session. So, yeah, that's a link. Wow. We're using one of the most used applications. So, do we need an introduction? And I'm not saying that to be cocky. I'm just, so how many of you guys have never seen us before? You don't know who we are. Well, that is quite a few. So, my name is Marcus Murray. I work for a small company called Trusec in Sweden. We operate all over the world. I'm the team manager of a group of pen testers, reverse engineers, security architects and stuff. We're very technical. We only do things on the keyboard. Not so much, you know, on the more information security side. And this is my colleague, Hassan.
My name is Hassan Shakarti. I work for Trusec as well. All-around security guy. I've been a developer once upon a time. So I can do some quick and dirty coding, I can do my own tools, you name it, tear down systems, penetration testing, building up secure systems and so on.
Yeah, he's very humble. Yeah. We call him the wolf because whenever we're in trouble, we bring in the wolf, like Pulp Fiction. If you're not joking, it's because you heard that joke so many times. So anyhow, but that's true though. He's a man of many hats, he knows a lot of stuff. So always keep him close to me when I can. So we're going to start by doing some demonstrations. We're going to get right into it, and Hassan, I'm going to let you start with the social engineering toolkit. The world today is about attacking clients. This is the number one way.
Marcus. There was a wish about the Central European Bank.
I'm not sure that is so smart, really.
Ah, let's try.
You're on your own.
It's fun.
You're on your own. There's a share over there. I'm going to take that.
I mean, this is one of the tools we you would be interested on.
They can always deport you, man.
The tool you see here is called Fiddler, which is a debug proxy, web debugging proxy. This was actually made by one of the guys behind IE. That's the Internet Explorer by Microsoft. Now, he doesn't work there nowadays, but he's still that guy. So you can extend this tool with many different things. You can add your own functionality. So I'm adding a man-in-the-middle type of thing, say forward form data. So everywhere in a web page there is form data that should be forwarded to me from this time on. Now I'm running this tool locally, so let's reload this page and start typing. I don't know, I don't have an ID on the Central European Bank, so I'm just guessing that. 79ZRJ2, those captchas.
There is something you should watch there that is of interest. This is an HTTPS session, as you know.
Let's see. I haven't clicked log on yet.
Whoa.
Or did I? Let's go back there. I just filled in my information, tapped between the fields, and it says the data dot is user ID, Hassan, user ID, and the password, abc.123, that's my infamous password, and the captcha ID was Z79ZRJ2.
So we didn't really hack the bank here, but this is a client-side attack. So you should think about where you're using your credentials.
So is that possible? I mean, can you be targeted by such an attack if you are at the hotel, using the hotel hotspot, or you're in the metro, wherever, the air place, or anywhere else? Let's check another tool. This will bring some dots on those eyes. Let's see. There's a tool called SET. I think Marcus can tell you a little bit more about that. So I am going to do a social engineering attack. That's one. Website targeted attack, the website vector. I'm going to do the three here, credential, mass harvesting. And let's do a site cloning. Okay. So website cloning. Okay, let's see what this tool is going to do. I need to pinpoint my own IP address to harvest those credentials. So 131.107.1.178.
That's Hassan, check the...
Oh.
Check it.
Great.
So it will actually download pages from Facebook and present it on its own website. So it's caching Facebook. And if you're smart enough, which you, I know you are, you're realizing now that we're going to try to make somebody connect to the wrong site, right?
So it's grabbing the necessary information from the real Facebook page to have its own copy of that, or that portion that's important for us, the logon pages and so on. So let's go back here to our victim. That's our victim. Now this guy starts his Internet Explorer. He starts going to facebook.com. Still loading. Apparently we are in Spain. So Facebook detects that and says hello, or whatever that is in Spain. Let's see, I'm Hassan again, and my famous password, and do logon. Okay, well, that wasn't the real logon. Or was it? Let's go back to attacker and see that there is an email equal Hassan, pass equal abc.123 again.
Did you see why this could happen? Do you see what we did here? We downgraded the logon, so we allowed an HTTP logon. They went to Facebook, but we gave them an HTTP logon, which is okay because it was the real Facebook. You can see that in the URL. So they authenticated. It failed, obviously, because we didn't forward it. We just stole it. And then, if we want to, we can use their password, making a real SSL connection if you want to. So again, just to remind you, this link will take you to Facebook. So make sure you click on this link later. And
yeah, or use the other link. You go to SkyDrive by Microsoft, the live.com. Equally as good.
Yeah, so how do you think about that? Interesting?
We'll go back to this demo. We'll go back and figure out how that could happen because we have some other things going in behind, and we need to look at some other tools. So the tools here, the two tools we are trying to show you the effect of is the SET, the Social Engineering Toolkit, which I used the latest one. The one before is the Fiddler, which is really a debug proxy. It's not a hacker tool if you ask the creator, but the bad guys could use that equally as the good guys can do that. So start thinking about the different possibilities, different tools we have here. So.
Yes, so I mean the reason we want to demonstrate this is we are seeing in the real world that when attacks are happening, they target the clients. It's just a fact. And clients today are mobile phones, or sorry, smartphones. They're not mobile phones anymore, they're smartphones, tablets, and laptops. So whenever you're out there and they give you this HTTP network, you are exposed. When you have these unencrypted wireless networks and you log in through HTTP, maybe you don't even think about it, but they can downgrade you in many cases. So you go to this HTTPS link, they downgrade you. You only get HTTP, but you don't worry because it's still the correct URL. So think about that. SSL only. Trusted certificates. No warnings. That's the only web authentication you should do. Otherwise, we can just steal your credentials. Will be you.
So what else can we find on the internet?
They look kind of sad. Mm-hmm. How many of you attended Paula Januszkiewicz's session this week? Quite a few, right? Good. I mean, she's blonde, smart, cool. Why wouldn't you, right? So anyhow, we went to her website. We needed to assess her website, right? I mean, so...
We're just professionals helping
each other. She had some nice link there. We went to like... WSecure, Poland, something. And then she has the links. Go, that's strange.
Yeah, there is a refresh for some reason. You will get to another page.
Yeah, maybe this is hacked already. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Why is this taking so long? Maybe I'm the joke. Maybe she's running JavaScript on my box. I don't know. Who knows?
Let's hack him back.
Yeah, that's strange. Yeah, I was tired. It was the last day of ticket.
I think we have a certain number of IT geeks in this place using the wireless network, the comnet.
It doesn't work. Let's hack her husband's site instead.
Yes. I mean, if you cannot get to the target itself, you can get close enough.
Yeah, this is good enough. This is Gregor Twerk. This is actually her husband, so stop hitting on her. It doesn't work. Trust me, I tried. So... And I am married, so I have a fallback plan. No worries. Don't feel sorry for me. Anyhow, this is Standard Error, his site. There's actually a link to this site. This is why we know about it, where you can download stuff from TechEd. So it's on their website. And we decided to show you that if you put things on the internet and you're just making it obscure, you can still find it. So we're not doing anything illegal here. We're just looking for stuff that is published. Okay?
But not linked.
So no reason to be upset here. So, I mean, there are no links nowhere here, but if you go to, for example, TechEd, which they link directly to, you will find stuff that you're supposed to find, because they will link to it and you can download the stuff. I don't know if she read all of the agreements, but that's a different story. So, anyhow, we thought maybe she does this all the time. Maybe this is her store. And I'm just thinking here, so, and this is just an idea in your head that this is what the hacker does. So I'm not trying to point out Paula. I mean, she's a good person and good at what she does. But I do think this is a good example of things you should think about. So this is the Deer Buster tool. If we can make it work. What did you do to me, Paula? I'm getting really worried here. Is she even better than I imagined?
Yeah, by the way, the Deer Buster is a tool provided by OWASP, the Open Web Application Security Project. That's a very good, nice website if you are into web application security to visit.
Yeah. So we did some browsing, and the way Deer Buster works is you point it to a URL, and then you can make a lot of concurrent connections, and it will actually just use a word list with lots and lots of words that could represent directories and files. So it will just go through your entire web trying to connect to directories and stuff. And this is kind of underrated because many times this is how we find those secret admin consoles to important places. And you should be surprised. Sometimes even banks has these legacy 10, 20 years old in an obscure URL logon page with old test accounts and stuff, so you can log on using test or whatever. So you should worry about this. You should think about this and clean up your websites. I'm not going to make any more deep dives into her stuff, but since this tool is, smart markets, do 1,000, 10,000 concurrent connections. I wonder why it doesn't work. Smart move. You're such a smart guy. Can you please hit me a little bit? I'm in like, yeah. So, much better.
Okay.
Now, yeah, now I'm back. So, anyhow, as you can imagine, this technique, if it comes back to me, I'm going to show you. It's so damn...
She's cursed you.
Yes. Sometimes karma is a bitch. But again, AVS, whatever. Homework, Florian. So this is how they find this stuff. Cyber. So this is just a way of thinking. And this is what the hacker will do. Wherever they are, they will brute force, they will look for stuff, they will lift every stone, and they will see what they can find.
Yeah.
So, Deer Buster is a very good example, but this is also brute forcing technique. So whenever you have something that is easily guessed, there's always a tool that can do it for you. Doesn't matter if it's a password or whatever it is, a URL, a TFTP file configuration, you know, for your routers or switches. So you always have to think about that. We always use GUIDs and stuff when we have something published like this. And then, of course, we set security on it. So you have to authenticate if the information somehow is should be secured. Again, this could all be public on Paula's site. She probably gives all this out, so it's probably not that bad. But just as a good example. And so it's fun to mess with her too.
And of course, there are some other similar tools to the Deer Buster. Now, the Deer Buster does things more actively. It goes to that site, enumerates the URL, and tries to grab file names and folder names and so on. Let me just show you some other, couple of other tools that are more passive tools. They will do almost the same thing, but much more passively. They will never touch base on that site. They will go with the search engines instead. So Foca is one of these tools. It does Bing searches, it does Google searches, it goes for a domain name. You configure it initially with a domain name or multiple such things. We did already this for Apple in our other sessions, so just you can see it finds clients, it finds server names, it finds IP addresses that are related to that domain name. You have related domain names and subdomain names and so on. All that kind of thing is found on the search engines. Additional to that, you find a lot of documents published related to those sites or within those sites and so on. So that's where it goes a little bit more active and just starts downloading those documents. And what you can do, just right-click all of that, download it, extract metadata, extract information from that, those documents, and then analyze that metadata. So you will start grabbing useful information out of this. Let's look at this. There are usernames, there are folder names, there are printer names. This is a list of most used software. They are using Office for Mac, while they are using Office as well. There are documents being done by Office XP or Office 2007 or Office 98 for Mac and so on. The list of software, the list of operating system is as important as well. You see they are apparently running much more Mac OS X, but a little bit of XP, a little bit of Windows 2000 server. Well, that's very nice. Some Windows 7 and some Linux.
I actually think that Apple has more Windows 2000 server than, or Server 2000, that was the real name actually, than Microsoft has nowadays. I haven't found that many at Microsoft. Not that I would ever look there. But.
Yeah. So an attacker could grab that kind of information, and now we have a good idea about what to target, what applications, how the user should behave, how they should receive. I mean, there is an Acrobat and Office and so on. So from that on, then the attack will actually start. And there are some other tools Marcus will show you soon. Another tool, just want to mention this, is called CertDigiti. This is very similar to the Foca tool. It uses both Google and Bing. The thing this does that Foca tool doesn't, this uses something we call the Google Hacking Database. The hacking database thingy that was published many, many years ago. There is a huge repository of hacks you can type in the search, as a search string in Google to find certain things, to find vulnerabilities, to find files of interest, and so on. So that was called the Google Hacking Database, using Google for hacking. And there are similar things when you use Bing, there are similar things when you use other search engines. So you see, this is all about search engines. It does data extraction with a DLP. Here, it does flash analysis. It looks for flash vulnerabilities as well. It does search malware related to those domains and so on. So all that is possible using this tool. Go.
Yes. Well, I'm actually about restarted. It's starting to find some sites. So this is how it works, this tool. It will just do some requests per second, depending on how many concurrent tasks.
Yeah.
And then we'll list them here. So let's shut this down and continue. So if we look at more real attacks, internal attacks, or even from the internet, and we're going to go, I think you understand in this session, we're going to go from basic and then we're going to go to more advanced attacks in the end, because we know in the end, that's before you fill out the eval. So we'll save the coolest things for last. So when you're a hacker and you somehow end up on an internal network for some reason, usually what you want to do is you want to create your own diagram of the network. So simple tools, like for example Nmap, which is a network scanner. This may not look like a hacking tool, but I think any hacker or penetration tester is using this tool, this particular one. And it's kind of funny because we do a lot of incident response and stuff. And whenever you come to a compromised enterprise and you say, well, I want to see your network diagrams, they're always inaccurate. When a hacker does this, after a few hours, he will know exactly what your network looks like. These are actually pretty good tools to use also. Mm. But just so you know, it's very, very simple to quickly find your resources, see what services they're exposing. And this is a default scan. You can do a verbose scan as well. I pre-cooked this because we want to cover a lot of tools in a short time. So this was a default scan. Now I'm going to do a verbose scan. And the difference is I will actually query the services and compare the results to database so it will know for sure what services are exposed on these systems. And when we do penetration testing and stuff, what we're looking for is SMB shares on older systems. We know that they still have local username passwords that are weak. So any old production, Windows 2003, Windows 2000 even, all that stuff, that's what we're looking for. SQL servers, really interesting. And other things, of course, but those are the two first examples that we always look for. And I'm going to do some brute force attacks after this. We're going to have to find them first, see what we got. If you want to see the output of this tool, you can press space. But it's going to take a little bit of time because it's a verbose version scan. So, since we're going to have to wait 30 more seconds, any questions? If you have a question, you can just raise your hand. A guy will come with a mic. He will run up to you. And you start speaking when the mic is close to you so everybody can hear. Are there any questions? Is everything crystal clear?
Or they are scared.
I don't think they're scared. They don't look scared.
They're
I think
tired.
Some of them are tired.
Yes.
Do you need some sugar? Could that help? If anybody wants some sugar, raise your hand. That's easy. You want some sugar? Only the guys in the front. That's strange. Are you afraid? Is it okay if I throw this? Again, if you sue me, I'm going to enjoy food in prison. Somebody call an ambulance. Well, you're going to have to go pick him up yourselves. That didn't work. So if you want them, go get them.
Yeah.
So
now we have some results for the version scanning or verbose scanning?
Yes, we do have some results here. So we can see that this hoster up, this is probably client. It's pretty firewalled.
Mm-hmm.
Windows RPC, but if we go up a little bit, we can see some more interesting stuff here.
Yeah.
Like this is a 104, he's doing a SQL Server, 1433.
And it's actually telling us this is SQL, Microsoft SQL Server version this and that. So it's quite accurate about grabbing those so-called banners and version information.
Yeah, so I mean, we will find different systems, different configuration here. Windows machine, looking at this guy.
Mm.
101, for example, this is obviously domain controller.
Yeah, we see Kerberos, we see DNS.
Yeah, all that stuff. So this is a typical way of finding out what's exposed on this network.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LDAP, all that stuff. So
Yeah. Simple,
straightforward way of finding things. I'm a little bit worried why I couldn't find this guy. Did I hammer him in too much? I'm going to restart him. I've been messing with these servers and clients so much this week, so I feel sorry for them even. So, when you find this stuff, you want to continue doing brute force attacks. Mm. So this is a very simple tool called Hydra. And Hydra has a lot of different features, but it's a brute force tool. Or sorry, it supports a lot of different protocols. So Hydra can connect and use a list of systems, a list of usernames, and a list of passwords, and just hammer on those systems as long as it wants. And of course, you should be aware about this. And these are the supported protocols in this particular implementation of Hydra. It supports Cisco stuff, FTP, SMB, different things, MySQL, Oracle, PC Anywhere, RxSec, SSH, SMTP. You know, it's a very competent tool. And if you have a weak password, it's going to be a problem. Another thing is, if you have password lockouts, this is the best denial of service tool ever if you're on an internal network. I can lock your entire operation out. Just go for all the service accounts and stuff and just make it stop working. Just hammer on them. And we see this happening. Not so much because people want to lock you out, but they're brute forcing in the company and they have lockouts. Mm. So eventually they just enable, so that they allow, they take away the lockouts and they have a problem. They have to choose between bad or bad. So just to give you some example, I can brute force using Hydra. I can target this computer and use an SMB attack. So it says use this list of usernames, this list of passwords, target this box, and this is what I learned from my Nmap scan, and do SMB protocol. So doing that, I can just paste this, hopefully. Cut and paste is a pretty demanding technique on Fridays.
There we go.
So as you can see here, the login that it found was Bill, and the password was actually a strong password. Gates exclamation mark, and they used the capital G, so this is a good password. It will work in any default, you know, implementation. But this is how fast they are if you look at it. It did 528 tries per task. It did 528 logon tasks in a second. So can you imagine if you have a list of the 500,000 most common passwords and you don't have password lockout? It will only take a limited time. They can start this now, come back tomorrow and harvest. And just to show you that this is not a problem in SMB, this is in any protocol. I mean, if you're supposed to be able to authenticate, then you can do it with all the others as well. So same thing using SMB, or sorry, using SQL. And in this case, I'm targeting the 104 machine. The password is SSH, or the password is password and the login is SSH. This is important. You think that you know how many SQL servers you have in your enterprise. Usually you don't. You have these developer machines. They install SQL Server, and they usually use mixed mode, so they allow SSH accounts. They don't want to have too difficult passwords. The most common ones are blank, SSH, password, and another one that says a strong SSH password. Reason for that is because in the manual, it says set a strong SSH password. It's so funny, but it works in almost every enterprise somewhere.
Well, by all measures, that's a strong password as well.
It's very strong because it's got like big characters and
capital,
stuff.
Small letters, and
yeah. and the length. An at sign as well. So these are simple techniques. I can do FTP as well, then I'm going to move on. But I just want you to understand that it doesn't matter. It could be LDAP, anything. It's not about the protocol. It doesn't matter if you're doing SSL or whatever you're doing. You're just authenticating. And many companies make their own applications and have these obscure methods. We're just looking at their clients and see how they authenticate, and then we create our own brute force tools.
Yeah.
So if they have weak passwords, we will break into them anyways, doing penetration testing, of course. So again, Bill Gates was found during FTP, because this was a Windows FTP, so it's using the account in the Windows database. So you can actually brute force FTP to get Windows passwords and usernames. OK. can be under the radar sometimes if you don't read the FTP logs or whatever logs. SMTP logs even. Even the published SMTP logs to the internet. Or you can brute force the SMTP services as well. So, next step. I'm going to do a more advanced SQL attack, if you will. And I'm going to do it from all the way from the start to the end. So I'm going to run some tools here. This is the MSSQL scan. This will look for SQL servers in particular. So what this tool does is it uses several different techniques to find SQL servers. And again, this is just a small network, but if this was a real large enterprise and I had time, I would find all of them. And this is just one sample tool. There are other tools out there as well. So in this case, I found a SQL server. Doesn't really matter what IP. Of course, normally I would output this into a file. But this is a scan result, 111. It's an old Windows 2000, forgotten a long time ago. But it exists. I'm actually, sometimes you need to clean up the output. So I did output this into a text file. I can just do paste. Usually you take this stuff so you get a one-liner or a list of strings so you can import it into the next attack tool. So that's why we like this command line tools. You can script things, so you can format them, so you can pipe from tool 1 to tool B, or A to B. Now that I've found them, I can brute force them. And I'm just going to use a Truesec brute force tool. And this will take the output from this other tool and run it and see if it can find passwords as well. Just to give you an example of the fact that there are so many tools out there. So you shouldn't worry about Hydra per se. It's about any tool. Because I see customers, after you do a demo like this, they actually go out there and they make rules to prevent Hydra from executing. Mm. So that's not really the way to go. You have to think, be proactive and secure your resources. So in this case, this is way faster. This is focusing on only SQL per se. So this directly found essay and password in this shape and form. And we're going to use one of our science old tools to utilize these user credentials and log on to a remote SQL server. And this is when the fun begins. So I'm going to draw a little map here. And let's pretend this is a SQL server. So I'm sitting here on the attack machine. I've been targeting this network. I identified this particular SQL server. The next step in my attack is I want to execute code. Now I have access. I have essay and password. Of course, I could use any SQL management tool. But I want these small tools that are transportable that I can move around. So I'm going to use the SQL shell. And SQL shell takes some syntaxes, 192, 168, 194, 104, which was the IP address of the target that I found. I'm going to use a SQL logon. SSPI is integrated. That is good if you hack one machine and he has access to that server through the user account logged on. Then you can just connect. You don't even have to know the username and password. If I hack a web server and there is a connection set up to the SQL, and sometimes I can just connect. So I'm going to do the user ID SA, password or password. And then, in this tool, I have some options. I'm going to do the question mark to get them. And this is a very neat tool. If I'm not allowed to execute commands using XPCMD shell, it can enable it. It can run SQL commands directly, so whatever I can do to become or get interactive access, I can do it. I need enough privileges, but this is an internal system. And what we see out there is, as soon as we're internal, people are running stuff in SQL under system accounts or admin accounts. They just are. Not all the time, but any third-party thing you buy off the shelf, they will usually do that, still today. Again, not all of them, but enough of them to find at least one or two every time we do a penetration test.
Yeah.
And we're not doing small business. If you only have one, maybe you know what you're doing. But if you have a 50 or 100 SQL servers, you will find a few. And this is a very nice entry point. My next step, if we look at this, is I want to transfer my tools. I'm on the attacker. Now I want to transfer my tools to this guy. And the problem here is usually that this machine could be firewalled, especially if you hack a web server and you want to connect back to the SQL server. So maybe you're only allowed to use the port 1433, which is the default port. And it's hard to copy up the tools using, for example, netuse, backslash, backslash, and copy, because it doesn't allow you to connect to SMB. So in this tool, it has a built-in feature. It will actually take a binary, a hacking tool, if you will, or whatever, and it will transfer it into text. And it will just transfer the text in the SQL stream to the SQL server and then convert it back into a binary on the other side. So even though the text, the stream of SQL doesn't allow you to do binary transfer, we will convert it into text or a representation of the binary in text format and then recompile it later. And the tool will do it for us. So you should know about this stuff. These are the hacker tools you should know and worry about. So in my next step, I'm just going to do remote copy. Or I can show you that I have interactive access, actually. I can do host name. And this is the IS4. If I look on my own side, this is the attacker. Host name. I'm the attacker 4. So these are different computers. IP config. This is the number 3. And if I look on the other side, he's got a different connection, of course. This is the 104. And again, who am I? Always interesting. You have to spell it right, though. This guy's running under system, because the SA account is running under system. So this is, of course, a bad design. But again, very common. That's why you should worry about it. So my next step will be to do remote copy, which is built into the tool. And I will copy up /hack /gsecdump.
No, this is not a function in SQL. This is the tool that enables that. So I use the SQL query response mechanism to transfer files.
Yeah. So what we're seeing now is the script taking this binary gsecdump, converting it, and uploading it as text, and then putting it on the other side and converting it back to a binary. So that's what's happening right now. So this, using this technique, I can get my hacker tools and on a SQL server as long as I have the right privs and they have some weak password or something that I can find. Of course, you can do man-in-the-middle attacks also against SQL servers and find the password using challenge response sniffing and brute force that offline. So now I can actually run gsecdump. Gsecdump on that system. And this is a tool for dumping secrets. This is another tool you should worry about. It's a TruSec tool, but there are many tools like this out there nowadays. So if you run this tool, you can use some different syntaxes. You can do the use switch, and you will see who is logged on to this system. And this is a very common scenario. You have an administrator of the internal domain logged on, and these are his password hashes. You have a backup account because you want to back the server up, and this has these hashes. So the assumption is, if we look at the configuration here, that we found these accounts, admin and backup, that we can maybe reuse these accounts on other systems. And of course you want to go for the... Who was that? Okay, everybody but you, protect yourself, okay? Give it to him. And if you did get hit and got hurt, don't fill out the eval, okay? Please. So, or come here for more and I'll bribe you and make you happy anyway or something. Give you money, maybe. So, let's see how that works. It's kind of simple. We also have some other tools, but again, if you can take the hashes, you can reuse them. There are many tools out there. I'm going to show you another that you should worry about that can extract secrets. And we can remote copy that one too. So I'm going to do remote copy, and I'm just going to do Windows Credential Editor.exe. So I'm going to copy that one up as well. And this is made by a guy called Hernan Ocker. It's a really competent tool. We have similar tools that does all this stuff, but he does it all in one tool, which is very convenient. So this is something you should worry about. It's just one binary, no DLLs, nothing that you have to inject and stuff. So it's very portable. And hackers like them portable tools. So now we can do Windows credential editor as well. And like this example, it will take the hashes, but it's got a lot of other features as well. So for example, you can inject stolen hashes into the current session. And this means now, when I'm here, I am logged on as system. So if I would try to do a net use to the domain controller, I would probably fail because he doesn't have any credentials to operate the domain controller. But if I inject the hash into my session, I could do it. So this is one way of doing it. You can just take this. I'm going to show you some more stuff here because they're very cool. Let's see. It's the S switch. You can change the credentials. So using S, you can take this password hash line here, for example, the backup SVC, and you can see if it works. I don't know if this one is domain admin, so I can just try. And this is what the hacker is going to do. He's going to paste this in and see whether or not this is domain admin. So it says it successfully changed the credentials. So now this is who I am right now. If I do who am I, it's not going to be valid. I'm still going to think I'm system. But if I connect the resources, I'm actually going to be backup. So I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I'm going to net use 192.168.194.101. That is the domain controller. And it works. So I should actually try this.
The admin channel.
Yeah, because, no, it did not work. The password is invalid. So for some reason, that account doesn't work. So that gives me an opportunity to show you another feature of the VCE, which is nice. Like this was prepared almost. So I'm going to do the W switch. And what this one will do, it will actually look for clear text passwords. So it will. And the way Windows is built is that it has different authentication providers. And some of the authentication packages has to support clear text storage of clear text passwords in order to give you single sign-on. So using this simple tool, if I have full access to the system, I can extract the internal administrator's secret password, the backup service secret password. So let's try the administrator instead. We can just do a simple net use. Mm-hmm. Net use 192.168.194.101/u:administrator, and then of course the secret password. So the multiple connections. Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, net use d/y. I hear you, I feel you. So now it completed successfully. So this is exactly how they do it. They will extract secrets and they will try hashes or clear text password, depending on what they can find, and they will try to authenticate the resources. If the backup account was the only account there and didn't go, was not enough to connect to the domain controller, they would connect to all the other servers, and maybe they're using the same account, and then they would try to see if they could find domain admin password credentials on them. So these tools are really interesting tools that you should know and worry about.
Yeah. And the WCE and the GSecDump are not the only tools that can do that for us. So if we go ahead and look at one another very interesting tool called Mimikatz. This is very, very similar to the other tools Marcus just showed you. It can do some additional things that interest me specifically. It can actually extract computer certificates for you. So if you have any computer certificates, machine certificates that are meant to be non-exportable, this tool can get that for you. So let's see, C script and the cert. I already prepared a script for that because it does many steps. You need to inject a DLL into the LSA process. You need to give it some specific commands. So now it's been done by the script. And it's already dumped, I think, if we just look at the file system before and after. There are two files here. One of them is the computer certificate, and the other one is a computer certificate including the private key. So it's now exported and available for me to take from there to any other system. So let's just look at that. Now that's the computer certificate. It says localhost, local. I'm running it on my demo machine that's using Hyper-V with a self-signed certificate for the Hyper-V console connection. So that's the one we are seeing here. Another thing, I just had another script here for you guys with the password things, almost the same thing that Marcus showed you. This does all everything in one. So I can have all the accounts, everything, all the authentication providers, everything is dumped at once. And I see both the hashed version and the clear text version of that. So please, guys, I don't want anybody of you emailing me and telling me, hey, we found out your password on your machine. This is my demo machine, okay? So this is not used anywhere else.
If you email us and tell us that, we'll tell you your password. So
yeah.
We'll make a fair trade.
So this is the Mimikatz. We've been speaking a little bit about wireless in the beginning of the session, so I would like just to give you a complete idea about what we can do with the wireless things and how that could be dealt with. Let's see. We go over there. Just show you one of my favorite tools. It's called AirDump, which is part of the AirCrack tool set. Let's see. There you go. This one goes sniffing the wireless media. It shows all the access points, all the clients, who's connected to what. If there are multiple access points with the same SSID, I will see that right away. I see all the clients associated to different SSIDs or different access points as well. So I can pick and choose and target them. I can set up my own access point if I would like to, based on that type of information. I can record that information as well. Just switch to a certain channel and just start recording that information. And then reuse that recorded information later on. Cracking the shared keys for those networks, for instance, the web key or the WPAP shared secrets, for instance. So whilst this is running, I just show you that. I already have two files here. One is called Hacking Cap. This is a capture of actually the SSID that I'm running right now with my tiny access point here that provides me with internet. So you will see that that information. So I will run the AirCrack NG tool with the Hacking Cap. This is a capture of traffic whilst I was connecting to that SSID. And give it a word list again. This is an offline crack attack. So it starts brute forcing, cracking the password for me. And it says, oh, there are a lot of SSIDs here and there. So I have to select my hacking, which is number 13. There you go. And then it starts going through the word list I provided until it finds the password. So once the password is found, it's going to say, oh, that's the password, abcd.1234. That's actually the current password on that SSID as well. So looking at the web attack, it's pretty similar. I have a file here called wireless100.cap. This is recorded for a web-based network. Anybody here using web?
Yeah, they would totally admit.
Yeah, look carefully at this. Let's see. Reading packets. It's very large file, so it's the first one with the infra as a name. This is web. 128 bits. So let's go ahead. Now this is pure brute force. There is no password list. There are no such things in web, so I need to calculate the key. So it needs to read all the information, cache it in memory, and start counting on those keys. This is going to take some, I won't say minutes, but rather some seconds, and give us the key right away. What do you think it takes to, record this capture file, to crack the web? There it is.
How long time do you think you have to stand outside that office and record traffic in the air?
30 seconds. A little bit more than that. It's something around 5 to 10 minutes.
Actually, some of the attacks can do it in 30 seconds nowadays. So you're right and he's wrong, and I love to say that.
If you have a good computer, multiple computers.
No, there are new techniques that will actually improve it. So. You are right. You earned your chocolate. You want some? I think that was actually... I mean, if you mess with a sign, it makes me so happy. I'm going to bug him for a week. So that's 3 bars right there.
Great. So that's about a little bit about wireless. Earlier this week, I demonstrated another tool I have here. I won't be able to show you this tool, guys, but this is rather a hardware-based tool. It's called the Pineapple Wi-Fi. It's a very tiny, small access point that can do the whole thing I just did and showed, demonstrated, it can be done with this guy. It can go do the site survey for you. It can record the information. It can do the de-auth attacks. You can use it to brute force things. You can use it to see what's going on, who's connected. You can offer this as an open access point, and a hotspot, and observe information going through this one and record it if you'd like to.
I just want to know one thing. We brought with us a very cool hardware device, and we want to show this as the last demo of the day. So I just want to know, how many of you guys have to leave the session before it officially ends? You're going to miss the coolest demo ever. If this was a half room, I would actually do it now, but I can't. This is the master key to all computers, and I'm not joking. It's like this.
So going on with the network track. Now, another tool that illustrates things very good, and it's very nice to use to learn people what kind of network attacks there are available there. The tool is called KNNable. You've probably seen that in some of our demonstrations. What I want to show you now is this tool's possibility to perform something we call ARP spoofing, or ARP injection, or to act as a man in the middle on your network. This includes wireless network, wired networks, all type of media will be just possible to conduct this type of attack on. This is IP-based. That's one of my colleagues. So, what I'm doing here, I'm just activating the sniffer, scanning for my hosts on the network. You can just scan for whatever. You type in the network number here. You find about your host. There are 10, 20, and 30 here. The 10 is actually my domain controller on the VM environment. The 30 and 20 are member servers. So what I'm going in the next step here is to pinpoint which guys I would like this tool to perform an ARP spoof in between. So the way I'm telling this tool is, hey, whenever the number 10 would like to communicate with the number 30, the dot 10 and the dot 30, what you should do is to convince these guys that you are the opposite party. So they will be sending their packets to this guy, and they think, oh, that's the MAC address of my corresponding communication party. So I will see everything. I can observe everything. Now, this tool does include some very nice proxies. Okay, one of them is a DNS proxy, which gives me the possibility to tell it, hey, if you see a DNS request going on, the DNS response that gets back to the client from the server, I want you to alter that this way. So whenever the client says facebook.com, it will receive 172.16.1.200. And I couldn't do that with any request with any IP addresses. So that was actually what was happening when I showed you the Facebook thing. So the client was going to its domain controller. Let's just check the domain controller fast here. So this is the DC. I do an NS lookup. And do facebook.com. So this is locally on this machine. It will answer with the 173.252 and so on. The DNS server is all okay. We haven't changed that anyway. We haven't altered that anyway. We cannot touch that in any way. But if I go to this guy, which now under the effect of the man-in-the-middle attack and the DNS proxy. So when this guy asks ping, let's do like this, NS lookup. Facebook.com, and you say it gets 172.16.1.200. It actually gets the IPv6 address right, because we don't bother about that. So that one will go just right. The IPv4 will be changed to the one I decided in my tool. So that's the one we find here, 172.16.1.200. So that's how easy it is about going in any network, targeting the clients or targeting the servers. The only thing I need to make sure I'm doing is I'm either near the client or near the server. Either I'm on the client side or the server side. Then I can do this type of thing. I can go between the client and its default gateway. I can go between the server and its default gateway. So any bad admin or bad guy or hacker who happens to be on your server network can do this type of thing. Or if you have a hack computer, a hack client, that can happen as well. Some networking man in the middle. What's next?
What's next? Next is give the screen back to me.
Sure. There you go.
I think I'm still so happy that he got you. You want a t-shirt as well? A Trusik t-shirt? Come get it. So if you can find something that has signed us an error, you will be highly rewarded. If you can find something I did an error, let me know. Just go whisper. Tell me. That's between you and me, again, and I'll reward you as well. So,
great.
Some of the really most dangerous tools out there exploit frameworks. It's all about frameworks nowadays. The SET was a framework, the Social Engineering Toolkit. But the real core frameworks out there that are most widely used in attacks are things like Metasploit Framework. I'm going to start by doing a core demo. I do this demo a lot because it really makes you understand how easy it can be to automatically attack systems. So I'm going to start by using Core Impact, and then I'm going to do some other attacks using a free-to-use tool, because this is fairly expensive. So this is the Core Impact platform. I can define a new workspace. And I have to set the password, because if the cops come, they might want to see what I did. I have two different ways of using Core. I can either go through a big collection of small modules. These are, for example, remote exploits. So these are different built-in exploits that can target various vulnerabilities and services. And as you can see, it's not just Microsoft who has problems. Just to know. It's kind of a cool tool. Nowadays, it supports mobile clients as well, stuff like that, using this exploit framework. But I'm going to scare you more. I'm going to do a rapid penetration test and show you how you can automate this in a simple fashion. So I'm going to use the Network and Information Gathering Wizard. And I actually made my 10-year-old daughter attack an enterprise using this. That was a joke. But she was trying it back home, and it worked well on demo environments. So a 10-year-old can actually attack systems using this tool. It's a proven fact. So I'm just going to choose my demo network here. And what's going to happen in the tool now is I'm going to do a fast network information gathering. So whatever I find is going to be represented down here. And the modules running is going to be represented up here. So right now it's doing discovery ARP. Port scanning, using UDP scans, fast SYN scans, stuff like that. And you can see the result coming up automatically down here.
So it's actually automating the tools Marcus just did with Nmap and the version scanning and server scanning. It's all done altogether automatically here.
And if you don't like these wizards, you can actually create your own macros. Just by clicking the small modules and tell them to forward information to the next module. So it's a completely GUI tool. Mm-hmm. For all this stuff. And the results that you find will be here. You can click on one host, and you can see down here what the result is. I know the screen is kind of small. You can see open ports, what operating system it is, 2008 R2 Enterprise Service Pack 1, stuff like that. So going from here, it gets interesting, because now we're going to start. Yes, you know, now when you leave, this session is recorded. Well, he wasn't that interested. Or maybe he wants to go home and patch his own servers. Who knows? So. Anyhow, you never know with these guys. Everybody leaves for a reason. So when these are done, I'm going to wait this out. I'm going to do some more scans. Then I can do the next step, which is the attack and penetration. So I'm going to run ahead. So this could be unstable, but I'm going to show you two cool examples. One thing, I can pick targets. So welcome to the attack and penetration wizard. Who do you want to hack today? Well, I'd like to hack this guy. He seems kind of old and tired. He should die now. So click OK. And then whenever there is a plus sign next to him, it means he's hacked. So you can use dangerous exploits. Why not? You can use all these. There are some settings, but I'm just going to go default. You want the new stuff or the fast stuff or the high-priv stuff. Doesn't matter. How do you want to connect? Just connect to target. Just make a connection directly. Who cares? You want to evade IDSs, IPSs, fine. You want to do encryption, fine. Mm. Next. Of course you can circumvent firewalls. This is a professional tool. Finish. And if there's a plus sign next to this guy, it means it's hacked. So, as you can see now, the network penetration thing is executing. It's starting to hammer away. And hopefully this guy will be hacked sooner or later. So you can see the attack starting now. He runs all these different exploits, depending on what he found in the operating system and what could or could not be compatible. And eventually, it's going to work. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. You never know about the demo devil. But if you pay $24,000 US and doesn't work, I'm going to ask for a refund. That's for sure. And I didn't pay that money, by the way. Yeah, here it is. There it's is. Hacked. So what you can do now is you have an agent installed. An agent is similar to a Trojan. So I can actually get up a shell. Kind of neat. So I own this box. Who am I? I'm system. Why? Because mm-hmm. the vulnerable service was running on the system. I can get logs and stuff of what's going on here. It doesn't really matter. But it should be interesting to know that these are fairly competent tools. If I want to browse all the files on this system, mm-hmm. I can just get something similar to Explorer running. If I wanted, so this is upload, steal everything on that hard drive or upload your hacking tools and run them. So it's kind of a convenient tool. Another thing is you can use this tool in combination with other things. So maybe these guys are not vulnerable. So I'm actually going to take the password hash that I stole from the SQL server, and I'm going to inject it to another attack and let Core automatically attack each and every one of them. That's to show you that if you have some small piece of information, you can reuse them later. Mm. And this is very common nowadays. And that makes you understand how fast you can target 1,000 computers if they have dependencies. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to the modules. I don't want to do the rapid penetration test anymore. What happened to my... I want to get back to the toolbox. Come on.
Yeah, if you just close the rapid penetration.
Thank you. Thank you, the wolf. Even though I was so bad to you, you still helped me out.
Anytime.
Such a nice guy. So, install agent using SMB, for example. I can take this module, and I can say I want to attack these targets. So I pre-configure them, but I can just click whoever I want to attack, do OK. Then I can say username, and this could be, for example, the one that I took, administrator. Mm-hmm. And then instead of using password, let's say I didn't even have the password at the time, maybe I only found the hash. I can put the hash in here, lm hash and empty hash. So let's go back to this one and take the hash that I stole from the internal administrator. So let's take this string here. This is the lm hash. I actually don't need both, but I'm going to put them in there just in case. Oops. Encrypt. False. Don't have to encrypt stuff. Paste. Put the hash in there. This hash in here. Let there be silence. Mm-hmm. Paste. And then I'm going to look at the configuration to make sure everything looks cool and OK. Agent connection, I'm going to do just connect to target, which is more stable for demo. This is not how I would normally do it. You can actually do DNS channel connections, HTTPS channel connections and stuff in this tool, but I want to do it very simple to decrease the risk of demo devil appearances. So having these, I can click OK, and it will actually start attacking. So whenever there is a plus sign on any of these, it means they're hacked. You can see this installed agent thing is running. IS1 is hacked. It's going to continue to run. You can just wait it out. Was it just IS1? Maybe the others aren't feeling well, but anyhow, I hacked the domain controller. It should be good enough. Maybe they will come later. So this is a typical way of taking information from one tool and put it into an automated tool. So hack the domain controller using Core Impact, just put the hash in there and make it attack. And you can imagine when you have 1,000 servers, just put the hashes in there, do the username, and try to connect to each and every one of them. It's just going to be one failed or successful connection. So either you own them or not, depending on what account you found. And when you find that, when you are able to authenticate, you just steal hashes again and you do it to the next victim. Or clear text passwords using Mimikatz or Windows credential editor. Kind of neat. So, kind of nice tool. Should be good to know that we have a lot of different plugins here, of course. You have the keylogger. Mm-hmm. You have all this stuff. You can just drag and drop stuff, and it will work. You may need to say, okay, I'm going to do this to log.txt or something, where you want to save it. So I'm going to save this here to log and save. Yeah, replace it. Okay. So now you're running a keylogger on that system. You can do anything. Get screenshots. So it's a very convenient tool to use. You can drag and drop and get screenshots. Not going to be much to see on the domain control because I think it's in sleep mode. Or sorry, I mean it's in waiting mode. But again, you can just do things like this over and over again and steal whatever you want from these systems. So that is Core Impact. How many of you guys want a free copy of that tool? Hands up. That is how scary it is.
Yeah.
Right? So these are the tools we should know and worry about. And how do you protect yourself from these tools? Well, you have to think of everything. You have to be proactive. Network segmentation, hardened systems and services and accounts. Otherwise, they can act basically just go from computer to computer and try to break in. And of course, just so you know, Core Impact also has features to break into web servers and stuff. It's got built-in client-side attacks. So it's not just social engineering framework. You can do other things here. You can target a lot of things. So send them emails with flash files or links to Acrobat Reader, PDF files and stuff. Lots of attacks. Believe it or not, Apple things as well, even though you can't hack Apple. Strange. Why are they here? I don't get it. Unbreakable Oracle, they have stuff for that one too. Crazy.
Yeah.
So, the way of the world. So after, it will clean up itself, take away all the agents, all the traces will actually be gone.
Well, that's
nice.
Stop
the tool. It's kind of convenient. So, any questions? Anything? How many of you guys are going out tonight? Hands up. How many of you guys are going home? Okay. So that is why you don't know what you're going to do. I mean, some are going to do this. Some, you're going to separate. So you're all a bit sad. I understand. You're going to get separated. So the next one, because Core Impact is quite an expensive tool. So I'm going to give you another example. And we're going to do some similar attacks using Metasploit framework. Just to show you how versatile it is, I'm going to give you one example. Metasploit, like Core, has a lot of feature, and it costs nothing as long as you use the console version. So this is Metasploit framework, and I'm just going to walk you through an attack. It will take you from A to B and hack the system. So in this case, I'm just going to attack this old Windows 2000. Of course, Metasploit has newer exploits, but it's kind of stable, so I know it will work. That is why. If I attack a Windows 2008 R2, it could be a 75% chance, and it's just going to be time-consuming to explain why it didn't work this time. So for demo purposes, a 2000, in the real world, it could be any system that has a vulnerable service. I just want you to understand that. I would be very happy if you throw out all your Windows 2000s. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's not the only problem. So let's do Metasploit. You can do a lot of things here. I mean, if you do just help, you will see different commands that you can run. But I'm going to walk through a path that will show you the value of attacking one system and then see if you can use that to leverage your creds to other systems as well. So first of all, I'm going to do show exploits and show you that there's a large list of exploits, like it is in Core Impact. So you can browse through this and see that there are many, many exploits that you get for free. And there's a large community building these, contributing for nothing. So then I'm going to pick an exploit to use. And in this case, I'm just going to use an old one that will attack the DCOM service. It's actually the same one I used in core recently, so hopefully it's still stable. And if it is, it means that because of this old platform, you can actually do multiple attacks targeting the same service, and it won't even break the service. So I'm going to set this to that attack. Next step is to set payloads. And I have a large list of different payloads. And the payload is the thing I want to happen when the exploit hits. So this is basically shell code that will do something on the target. So the typical payload back in the days would be to get a command prompt. Now we have more advanced payloads. In Metasploit you have something called the meterpreter. And the meterpreter is a payload very much like the core agent. So I'm going to install that one. So I'm setting it to use meterpreter. And then I'm going to set the local host. This is me. If I want this shell to be a connect back shell, so it phones home and connects back to me, then I need to set a local host. But one thing that I have to set is the remote host. This is the guy I'm going to attack. So I set a few parameters, and when I'm done, I'm just going to hit exploit. So if you know what you're doing, it's kind of simple. And you can do a lot of things with this tool. You can script and stuff and do your own plugins. So I'm just going to exploit. It is sending the exploit, binding to. Did it work? I didn't really get the feedback I wanted. Sessions. It's kind of funny when you say that it's so stable and it failed. I'm going to restart that Windows 2000. This is because I hacked it with core. It usually doesn't fail on me, but there's always the first time. So restart guest.
Meanwhile, Marcus is restarting his guest. I would just like to share with you some collected usernames and passwords. Okay. Whenever I'm at TechEd or any other type of conferences or going between airports and staying for waiting for my next flight, I just use the AeroDump and listen a little bit carefully. And believe it or not, there are people still using ClearText protocols to access their mailboxes, to access their services and systems and so on. So this is not recorded this TechEd. Okay. This information you see on screen here, you can observe there is a username. This is actually a POP3 communication ongoing, or was going some back in the time someday. So user sending his ClearText username, TMACKIN537, and there is another user sending his password with TMR3POP exclamation mark. That's a good password. But if it is in ClearText and it's in the air, what does that help? So just be careful. When using open networks, when using the hotel hotspot wireless network, the airport, anywhere else, somebody else can just do the same thing I did that time. And just listening carefully and collecting that piece of information. And maybe reusing it, or I don't know what.
Yeah. Another thing we see a lot is on the back-end systems in your enterprises, you still have all these mainframes and stuff, and they still use Telnet. People think you can't break into them because they're old. They're using clear text all the time. Sniff the wire, you'll find stuff. These bars are only for the guys in the last five rows. So if you want to, you can come forward and get them. But these are for you only. So I'm dropping bars here, just for you. So if you know that you're in the last five rows, so you want a bar, just sneak your way up here and get one. It means you're a ballsy person, and you get some exercise along with it. So it's going to be like calorie neutral. You walk up here, you eat it, and it's going to be calorie neutral. Very good for you.
So after Marcus restarted the machine, as you can see here, the exploit actually worked out.
Yes. So I restarted it just to make sure it worked. So I fired away. I did exploit again. And it's targeting this using a universal exploit. And it sets up a shell. So now I'm in the meterpreter session. So now I have different features or different functions that I can use. I can, for example, damp the hashes. I can try to become system. I can list webcams, take snapshots, record audio. The session is soon finished. I don't care. Yeah, we're going to speed this up.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you that I can, for example, if you do SysInfo, we're not going to be long. I didn't know it's actually a shorter session than normal. So we're just going to be at most 3-4 more minutes. Mm. So don't leave. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to get your ID. Just to show you, I'm System now. System is a very powerful account, but I can't use it over the network again. So I'm going to show you another technique of token passing. Yes, you know. So I'm going to do a PS, which will list the processes. And if you look at all these processes, you can see that some of these processes in this machine are started by authority system, some are being started by service one, and some are being started by the internal administrator. So if it's running stuff, it usually means that I can steal his token. Mm. I can copy the privileges of this process and use them for my own good and impersonate him that way. So I'm going to try to take, for example, this 1248 process token. So I can just do steal token here. Steal underscore token 1248. That is correct. And now I stole the token with internal administrator. So if I now do get UID, then I am the internal administrator. This means now I can just access resources over the network as if I was him, even though I didn't even steal the password or username. So this is a similar technique commonly used by hackers, but not all the admins knows about this. So whenever something is running, I can become him by just copying his token. If I own that box, I have to be, you know, admin or system in order to get that stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason I say admin or system is because when you're admin, you can always become system. So now I could do a net use to the domain controller or whatever. But I think we're going to have to move to the last demo of the day. This is the
Shall
master key.
Shall we pick
key.
Up a volunteer?
Yeah. Could we get a volunteer here? Why not? It's last day. Don't
come
be afraid.
On. Don't be shy.
Frank from the bank, could you come up here? You're the only one I knew the name of. Frank works at the bank. It's painful when they pick you up, right? Yeah. So it's not going to be hurtful. We just want you to prove to them that this computer does not have a blank password.
Can you just verify that this computer, doesn't have a blank password?
If somebody here doesn't believe that Frank is not a friend of us, even
try something else.
Name,
I don't
you
know.
Can come up too. So it's fine.
Yeah. So it requires a password. Okay. Now, Frank can help me with this.
Okay.
You see, it's not wired to the computer yet, but you can insert it in the PC card slot for that computer.
And this will actually work on any computer. It's just the master key to all computers.
Oh, sorry. Just flip it around. So, and just click it in.
It's in.
And then try to log on again with a blank password, please.
And
there you go. So the master key to any computer.
It's what it does. It's actually a PC Express card, and it will register itself as a RAM drive, which will give it access to RAM. It's from a company called Windowscope. You can actually buy them, and we don't get kickback or anything. I think it's good to know these are the hacker tools you should know and worry about. So if somebody forget to lock their screen, you shouldn't be too hard on them. They might come back for your screen, even though you're logged on with this one, and they can get into your computer as well. So you should know about this stuff. When it comes to physical security, the only way I know is good hard drive encryption and turn your computer off when it's not monitored. As long as it's on, booted, then this works. You can break into them. This is not a FireWire thing. This is PC Express card. Nobody mentioned this. This is not something that everybody knows about. Anything that has direct memory access can do the same thing. You just need to build the stuff. That's it. So I have two more requests before we finish this session. One is that I know that this has been a live session and you may or may not believe that you got all the info you want. Just go grab one of these cards, log on to Facebook, do it from a secure network, and then you can get access to all the links and stuff, all the tools that we've been talking about.
Or grab the link from the recording.
Yes.
It is there now.
And the last request I have is, if you really like this session and want to see us again next year or sometime else in the future, fill out the evals. If you didn't like the session, don't fill them out. Thank you so much. Thanks for attending.